India is only now is beginning to have the consciousness of this civilization state that begins with Modi. It is new. It is reassessment of the deep identity of Indian society. China is going the same way. It is not only socialist Maoist country. It is not the big economical system involved in global capital and global market. China is Confucianist civilization, very ancient, and this Confucianism transpires through the system of through the system of socialism borrowed from the political West. So China's model is not just one of the Western political ideology. Chinese socialism is something completely different. That is a kind of Confucianist ethical teaching with some socialist form. So we need to understand the core. And you living near to the Chinese, being their neighbors, you understand it better than anybody else. The same for relations with India. So I think that as well, the factor of Islam in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Nepal, it is not so big, in the China as well. But there is presence of Islamic culture here. So it is not maybe the problem for your country, but for region, for Southern Asia, Islam represents very serious challenge. So on one hand, we should help to Islamic pole to be formed in order to represent a full-scale civilization state. At the same time, we need somehow feel ourselves insecurity in front of some active aspect of this tradition. So in that sense, we should participate actively in the creation of Islamic pole, not only observe that from outside. We need to be involved to help to support positive tendencies in creation of Islamic pole, and from the beginning trying to establish some rule to define some balances and harmonious principles of coexistence in the space of the frontier. So that is frontier challenge as well. One more. So I think as well, the next point, Indochina that is close to Nepal, as well is a kind of frontier between Indian and Chinese civilization. And I think that the same, it is challenge for Thailand, for Laos. Laos has joined BRICS. And that's very important. The first country of Indochina has already joined Laos, joined BRICS. And maybe Myanmar will follow, and Vietnam, and so on. So Cambodia, Kampuchea. So I think that we need to concentrate on this part of the world as a very important frontier line. And I think that in the theory of multipolar world, on the geopolitical level, the challenge of frontier, how organize them as bridges between civilizations, as the common ground and not the territory of hostility, is the main challenge for the theory of multipolar world. And not only theory, but practice of multipolar world. And that is up to you. So you should stay in your country, the people, the country, and the countries who surround Nepal, who are close to Nepal, should understand this art to create multipolarity starting from frontier, because frontier is the key element. So you should be, when you will interact with India, with China, with the help of very friendly help of Russian Federation, that is always ready to support non-alignment, not alignment tendency, this sovereignty, the claim for sovereignty and independent development. We are very ready. We will be very lucky and happy to friendly participate in that, in order to bring peace, prosperity, justice, and democratization of international relations. So, but you can play this this role, very important role, that put you on the level of the highest hyperpowers of the modern politics, if you will stay loyal to your own origins, your own traditional values and spiritual identity, to your core, and this will give you an understanding of the other, of the neighbors, of the world. So there is the Buddhist saying that you can travel through all the world without going out of your small cabin, small home your room in Buddhist monastery. If your understanding, if your mind is open enough, is seeking truths, universal truths, so you could understand and travel through the world without getting out of your room. That is very, very, very profound wisdom. Really historic event, because now multipolarity is in rise, unipolarity is in the decline. The new philosophy of the justice and equity and of fairness on the global level, with rehabilitation of the great ancient civilizations, is prospering, is emerging, and all this long period, long-lasting period of Western domination is approaching its end. It's a very, very special moment where we speak about such thing, and it is very important that we try to establish the relations between across the civilizational borders as well, across the frontiers, in order to find the common ground for creation of a more just and more balanced international relations system, when nothing could be judged or accepted as universal if we lack the opinion of anybody, any human tribe, any human group, the big civilization or small group of people. We should take in consideration everybody. If, for example, some representative of small tribe doesn't agree with our definition of justice, of rights, of human system, we should not accept that as universal. So we should really create inclusive system, anthropologically, humanly inclusive, and that humanism should be of different nature. It should be just projection of the Western understanding of what man is, what is humanity, what is normal. For them, it could be the case, but there are the other who think differently, and we need to establish this multipolar philosophy on the inclusion and acceptation of the hear everybody, and take in consideration the opinion about the world, about death, life, being, time, space, of all cultures existing in the world. We could regard them as primitive or developed, but that doesn't matter. That is, there is no universal measure. The problem is human or not human. If there is human, something human, we should take it in. So nothing should be left outside of our multipolar philosophy. That is important. That's very, I think, very Hindu, very Buddhist attitude. So it is universal consciousness somehow. That is the universal law, the kind of karma that we should respect, all of us, including the smallest groups and smallest entity, as well as nature, should be included in our understanding of what is universal. So that is first element. That is so symbolic to speak with the prominent thinkers and political leaders of Nepal precisely in that moment, because on you depends precisely this, to participate actively in the creation of multipolar philosophy. And I think that the immense heritage of the great Indian Nepali wisdom is the very important part of this heritage, of this basis. I would like to say some words about very pertinent questions about Dara Shikuk, for example. So I think that Sufi Islam above all, that is very, very strong in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in India, in Nepal as well, as you have said, coming from Kashmir. This Sufi Islam is universal. That is most universal, most inclusive form of Islamic tradition. More Sufism in the creation, in the concept of Islamic whole, more effective, more harmonious, more wise, more profound will be Islamic whole as such. So I, in any senses, I would like to stress this very pertinent remark. So the heritage of people like Dara Shikuk, like Akbar, who has suggested this synthesis based on the concept of the Al-Ishraq philosophy, that was Islamic but very universal, of Sohrawardi. That I think that these examples of intercultural, interreligious dialogue are precious, and we need to pick them up, to identify them, to promote them. So I think that Sufi factor should be maybe main factor in the establishment of Islamic pole. Second point, so I agree that there are many, many interesting parallels in our tradition. So you know, for example, that in Christian Orthodox tradition, there is a story about the prince Jehoshaphat, the ancient prince Jehoshaphat, who has abdicated his rule and he became sannyasin, became the monk in the forest. And all the elements of this history of the prince Jehoshaphat, it is literally story of Buddha, the history of Buddha Gautama, taught of Buddha Shakyamuni, all the elements of the history. So we could find common narratives inside our respective tradition. Concerning China, I think that China is great civilization, and I think that it should be precisely the fact that Nepal didn't lose historically its sovereignty, independence, that make Nepal role model of the frontier of multipolar world. Because you have good relations with both great civilization, you did not disappear under influence of such huge energy coming out from India, from China. You have conserved your unique sovereign dimension. That is example of how peaceful coexistence and a conservation of the sovereignty is possible dealing with the great civilization. If you find a way to be win to use win-win strategy, to establish harmonious relations, you can reinforce your sovereignty. That is a role model. We need to study this case. Why Nepal had saved its independence? So that is about the political and cultural and civilizational wisdom. We should study that as example, because that is very, very actual. That is for the future, not only the past. And last point I would like to emphasize, that is necessity of synchronization of our culture, science, and education. We have discovered In our center, established recently for 1 year and a half in Moscow Humanitarian State University, we have established high political school in order to revise, to make a big study about what is the Russian educational paradigm in humanitarian sciences, first of all, but not only, but mostly in humanitarian sciences. And we have come to a very dramatic, tragic result and conclusion that all humanitarian science is hijacked because everybody is obliged to follow the criteria of the Western liberal science, making abstracts in English, to follow the rules, to publish in the Scopus system, where only Western journals are considered to be scientific. That is colonization of Russian science, full and deep colonization. So maybe comparing with other society, we Russians look very, very developed, advanced, but we are a colony of the Western civilization in the epistemological level. We tried to react during our history, but the Westernism in Russian society is too deep, and it has penetrated our way of thinking. Now we are coming out of this captivity. That is Egyptian captivity in the Bible. So our minds are still in the West, and our heart is in Russia. So now we should bring in the harmony, the heart, Russian heart, and westernized brains. So we need to make a huge epistemological revolution. And I presume everybody is invited to do the same now. When I have spoken recently, 2 days ago, in the Jawaharlal Nehru University, with Vice Chancellor and with Chancellor of this university in New Delhi, they have said the same, that Indian humanitarian science mostly is totally penetrated by the Western concept theory that are absolutely subversive in present context. The same consequence, the same situation is in China. China is very keen to defend its sovereignty, but most brilliant, most profound Chinese thinkers have arrived at the same conclusion that Chinese modern humanitarian science is penetrated by Western doctrines. And that creates the real danger, real threat for the epistemological sovereignty of Chinese tradition. And how our friend has remarked, that is why they try to attack any scientific approach that is different from the Western. So the West wants at any price conserve its epistemological hegemony. So that is very important. They try to not let us to become ourselves independent from them in the way of thinking. That is why they attack forum, conference, they try to hack Zoom's con. And that is why we don't discuss here, as you see clearly, some radical thought, radical ideas. We are speaking about the principles, about philosophy, of how organize a peaceful and harmonious and fair relations in the world. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's not against someone. It is not radical. It is just scientific of highest level discussion. And they try to hack that. And if they could not achieve that, they try to erase, to cancel. That is woke or cancel culture. They erase something that goes against their hegemonical liberal discourse, liberal narratives. And we need quite opposite. We will not suppress them. We are not going to limit and reduce their liberty of speech. If there will be the people who thinks differently, welcome. We will accept you. We will include you with your alternative views. Our attitude is really humanistic. We shouldn't, as I have already said, we shouldn't replace one hegemony by the other. We should destroy all kinds of hegemonic discourse, including ours. So we want to create, to construct, to build a really multipolar world order. And that means that we accept us, we accept opposite than us, for example, the West, and we accept those who are not us and not the West. So that is global South, maybe. So that is not necessary to be one against the other. It is to be together and to find a way to hear the opponent or the people who just think differently. And I think that modern days communism or socialist tendency, when it is in agreement with the cultural roots, it's a positive thing. Because capitalism is not universal. Capitalism is Western, is the part of the Western culture. And the pretension that capitalism is something universal is just hegemonic discourse, is colonial discourse. So if you agree, you can accept capitalism or you can refuse it. If you are willing to be socialist, you have all the rights to be socialist, anything. But we should not regard any form of social, political, economical system and something universal, because capitalism is Western phenomenon. So that is why limits, and we need to reduce the capitalism to its historic and geographic limits. Outside of the West, there was no and there will be never the same capitalist system as in the West. It's just in the West. That is just imperialist claim. So so let be all kind of ideological system, let them prosper, and it is up to your society to define what is wrong, what is good, what fits you, what doesn't fit you. It is up to you, and that is sovereignty, and sovereignty of mind. The main sovereignty is not about political system or economical system or self autarcy. The main sovereignty is in the mind. So I thank you very much, and I would like to continue your relations with all of you as our institution or in all other qualities that I could represent. So.